Bruce and myself have been talking about all the things emanating out of CES Las Vegas. That's that sort of tech thing where you find out about, you know, femtech and all sorts of other stuff. And the one thing that really blew my mind is the fact that Sony, now if you think of Sony, you can think of Sony Pictures. When you think of Sony, you can think of, especially if you're in radio, we used to have all sorts of gadgets that Sony developed. You can think of Sony cassettes. You can think of a whole lot of things that Sony do, but the last thing you'd ever, ever associate with Sony is their own car, right? Well, the Japanese electronics firm Sony recently unveiled their car at CES 2020, developed in collaboration with big names like NVIDIA, Continental, Bosch, ZF, and Qualcomm. The zero-emission sedan is equipped with no fewer than 33 sensors. This is to detect people and objects not just outside the car, but also inside. Huh? Okay. I'm not even going to ask. So what else can we expect from the year of this year of tech? 2020. There's one man who's always on top of it. So much so they've even given him his own TV show. Toby Shapshak, publisher of Stuff Magazine. Good morning.
You're too kind, Kino. I just want to emphatically state before we begin that I do not wear a suit.
Good. I cannot. I mean, it's 33 in Cape Town today. I cannot understand why anybody would want to wear a shirt, let alone closing the top button and adding a tie to it. But here, hey,
yeah,
to each
well,
their
there
own.
You go. So let's just look at the Sony car, because it's actually not so much about the car as about all those sensors that you were talking about. Mm. And Sony is a manufacturer, a very interesting manufacturer of very interesting stuff, especially all of these things used for cameras and sensors. So there's a lot of thought that the Sony car is more about a demonstration of all the sensors that it has and all the sensors that it sells than that it's going to enter the car business. Let's just look at it. I mean, most people's cell phones, if you've got an iPhone, you've got a Sony. In fact, everybody except Samsung buys their cameras from Sony.
Oh.
So Sony makes lots of sensors, lots of cameras. They're experiencing something of a boom at the moment because there's not one camera on the back of a phone. First there were two, now there are three. The leaks about the new Samsung Galaxy S20 that's coming later this year has four cameras on the back. So Sony's suddenly in a boom position where it's producing all of these amazing cameras for people and other sensors and batteries and those kinds of things and screens. And, but what we're going to see this year, I mean, there was a time where there'd be these massive, radical new things that would pop up on the horizon and we'd have, you know, massive new inventions. It's kind of what we have at the moment. It's a little bit less spectacular, but it's still very interesting, which is that you have kind of iterations of what we've had before. So stuff that we've had before, just, different versions of it. And that's very interesting to me because what we're seeing is the slow development of this new range of technologies. I mean, it's got a catchphrase, the fourth industrial revolution. I'm kind of allergic to things like that because... You know, Gartner, one of the research houses, has a very interesting concept they call the hype cycle.
Yeah.
And that's how long it takes something to become part of the public consciousness. Then it becomes hyped up. Then it, you know, so we're at the kind of hype, with peak hype in terms of talking about the fourth industrial revolution. But actually, we're probably, you know, not even out of the third yet, and there's a line of argument that said this is just a marketing play. But nonetheless, it's those technologies we're talking about: artificial intelligence, electric cars, autonomous cars that can drive themselves. Uber is pushing very hard to have autonomous flying vehicles. VTOL is vertical takeoff and landing, so that would have been the Harrier jump jet.
Yes.
That people remember from the Falklands War, or most recently the F-35 from the American Army. That's a jet that doesn't have to launch. It can just take off and land vertically like a helicopter. These are called eVTOLs because they're electronic vertical and takeoff. And at CES, there was a demonstration. I think it was Hyundai who had one with Uber. And I went to a big conference in Washington last year where they demonstrated a whole bunch of this and laid out the vision for it. And it's quite interesting, right? So it's not going to happen in Joburg, but it'll happen in Washington, New York or something. You catch an Uber, you go to a kind of, it'll be like a parking garage, built up parking garage with you know, an aerodrome on the roof. And you'll catch the car, you'll take a lift, you'll get in the helicopter and fly over to wherever you're going. But it's not going to be like the current helicopters, which have one big blade and are very noisy. You know, it'll have like four blades or six blades, and it will be that kind of helicopter. And of course, one of the other big trends that you see in European and Asian cities is scooters, right? Scooters are a really fun way of getting around. I'm not entirely sure they're faster, but they certainly are more fun to get around the city. And I've tried those a lot, and of course Uber and all the others. It's kind of part of the idea of some kind of integrated way of getting around. So that's electronic vehicles are, I think we're going to see a huge amount of that. I'm going to buy a new car this year, Kino, and it's got to be an electronic car, car. I can't see the point.
You're buying a new or secondhand?
Well, secondhand, I'm Jewish, don't forget.
That new car's going to cost you an arm and a couple of legs. Well, what about more connectedness when it comes to the spaces in which we operate? And just probably a couple of months ago, I was talking about having a fridge with sensors in it. And that sensor can tell how much milk is left in... I know you've got your little one there, so
I do apologize if you hear a small voice.
No, that's fine. We're all parents. We're parents. I've got a two-year-old. Don't you worry about it. Let the voices continue. But what about a fridge knowing when I need something, then communicating to my car? So when I'm in my car, my car then communicates to sensors in stores close by because, as you said, you're Jewish, at a much better price point, and it says, you know, only 500 meters down the line, Toby, you'd be able to get, you know, R6 off.
I don't know why they use that example. It's a terrible one, isn't it? It's always your fridge is going to run out of orange juice. It's particularly painful for me because I don't like orange juice. And whenever I say that to people, they look at me like I'm some kind of alien. What's wrong with orange juice? It's orange juice. Why don't you like orange juice? I'm like, I just don't like it. It's too acidic. Anyway, the more interesting stuff that those kind of sensors and that kind of integrated thing and the foundation for that is this 5G network, you know. So, I mean, you and I and most people are pretty happy with 3G or 4G. We can watch a YouTube video. We can download a movie. You know, we can do what we need to do. But it's the speed of 5G and what's called latency. And latency is how long it takes for a signal to go between places. And the lower the latency, the more important for something like gaming. You're playing a game online, you want to pull the trigger, you want to dodge right. It's important that the connection is quick because then your signal goes through quickly. And that's important for sensors, and it's also important if you want to have autonomous cars, right? So cars that drive themselves, they need to be able to access data. The interesting thing about 5G is it's more for all these sensors that are going to be around the world. But the other interesting thing about 5G is it's going to give you fiber-like speeds. So fiber is just a godsend, isn't it? I have 100 meg fiber line up and down in my house.
Absolutely.
You know, when we installed it a couple of years ago, Stuff magazine used to take about 3.5 hours to upload the final PDF to the printer. The first time we used fiber, it took 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, that's radical business transformation right there. And then you hear the word exponential. That's what exponential is. So suddenly fiber like SPEES are available to everybody using the network. Well, first people have got to build the network. Then they, you know, then you've got to buy the handset. So if people remember what it was like when 4G devices came out and the 4G revolution happened, you know, and a lot of those, that spectrum hasn't been licensed for South Africa. So we're not even getting the full impact of it. So 5G is very interesting, and it will be a part of our future. I don't think for most people they're going to experience that radical a difference. Certainly, if you're living in a rural area, you're not going to be the first person who has your network switched on. Rain, the standalone wireless network, which has Michael Jordan as a co-founder, they're very interesting. They've rolled out 5G, uncapped 5G in Johannesburg and China for R1,000 a month. Now, that's a very interesting proposition, because what we're looking at is people need this kind of access, but they don't want to buy gigs and things. And certainly if they're early adopters, like people who'll be using this RAIN network, they will definitely use an uncapped version. And just by the way, I mean, RAIN offers a SIM card for R250 a month for uncapped 4G, only in major urban areas, Joburg, Cape Town, Durban, Tshwane, but R250 a month, and it works except between 6 and 11 p.m. at night. Oh, that's just fantastic. I mean, I have about 5 of them I've bought for my housekeeper and her kids who are at school, and you know, that kind of thing. It's a really good proposition. So we're starting to see some movement in terms of cell phone prices. But back to the big picture about technology. So 5G is very interesting. What we'll be able to do with it is, you know, if you need to download a movie in a couple of seconds, 10 seconds, you'll be able to do that. But the interesting stuff is that the technology we're talking about, all of these sensors. Now, imagine if you take a sensor and you put it on a turbine in an engine,
yes,
or in a boiler at Eskom, and that just picks up sensors. I mean, I was at a conference and I was speaking at an IoT, Internet of Things conference in Helsinki last year.
Yeah,
and one of the examples was an Israeli energy company, and they put sensors on their equipment in the equivalent of Eskom, and the sensor would give them half an hour of warning that it was vibrating and there was something wrong, yep, and it was going to break down. So it's half an hour. They could turn it off. They could fix it. They can fix it before it breaks. You add artificial intelligence to that, and artificial intelligence is not artificial yet, because, you know, there's no singular brain, but there is. It's what's been called machine learning, and it's particularly good in very specific things like this. They're called verticals. Very specific thing like this, and it'll learn well. So what the AI will do is, it's got enough data, and it expands the warning from 30 minutes to 30 hours, because it analyzes the data and it says, hang on a second, the last time something, a unit like this did X, Y, and Z, this is what it resulted in, and therefore we will, you know, we know we have to repair it.
And that's
groundbreaking.
I mean, the difference is that when you have that machine learning, right, they can get that data from hundreds of millions of data points internationally, and can then predict based on a past performance, as you were saying.
Yes, exactly. Whereas, you know, you always know you're going to run out of orange juice.
But
you know, people always, there's a lot of talk about these voice assistants. Google Assistant, Amazon's Alexa. Mm. I won't have one in my house. I'm not interested in someone else listening to my conversations. I think it's deeply dangerous. And what's come out at the end of last year is that actually none of it is as secure as people say. Everybody, including Apple and their Siri and Microsoft Skype, have been getting humans to listen to your audio to make sure that it's been correctly translated. It's called grading. So they check it, and it's called grading. So I won't have any of that. I don't trust it.
Oh, you have an iPhone, though.
I do have an iPhone, but I don't use Siri that much. I'm very happy to. So, I mean, the smartest thing in my house is a television. So I'm not there yet. I mean, people say, but what happens if you want to dim the lights? I go, I get up and I walk to the wall and I turn off the switch. But that's because to retrofit an old house is very expensive. Future houses will have that all built in, you know, so the cost of putting that in will be there. I mean, basically to have lights that turn themselves off, you have to have a connection to that light. So you have to get an electrician to run it. So I'm not going to do that. It's pointless. I can get up and walk to the wall. Mm.
Well, you can get smart bulbs that have their own Bluetooth and that communicates directly to your Alexa or to your Google Home. I think we've lost Toby Shamshak. I think we can wrap it right there. I think Bruce will just call him and thank him. But let's talk a little bit about the technology that's made your life so much simpler and where you see the future moving towards. Maybe you work in a sphere where you're doing R&D. You're working on future projects or projects that will deliver dividends in the future. Why don't you pick up the phone, give us a call and talk about that on 021-446-0567 or WhatsApp on 072-567-1567. This is Today. I'm Kino, and myself and the team with you all the way through until midday.